Special music tonight. I know we had a scrap iron gang listed. I am just about sung out, and I may be preached out. So, well, let's just take our Bibles. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Judges. And we're going to look tonight in chapter 13. Now, in chapter 12, we kind of finish up the story of Jephthah. We're not going to go through it. But, you know, Jephthah kind of had a mixture in his time as the judge of Israel. Won a great battle, but then, in the end of that 11th chapter, His vow that he'd made came back to haunt him. And then in chapter 12, we see kind of a civil war break out between the men of Ephraim and the men of Gilead under Jephthah. And 42,000 Ephraimites were killed during that time. It's a horrible, it's a horrible thing. And then we see the other judges that are listed: Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. And really, nothing is mentioned of them other than their children. It mentions Ibzan had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and it mentions that Abdon had 40 sons and 30 nephews who rode on ass colts. Which was kind of a status thing for the Israelites. So, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. That was a big thing. It was a thing, Emma. So, now Emma, if you're going to sit back there with those guys, you're going to have to behave tonight. Oh, well, good luck with that, Emma. All right, chapter 13. Let's look together. And if you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Chapter 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he may be seated. Well, so here we come to an account of Samson's origin, and it is a miraculous birth in that Manoah's wife. And by the way, Manoah's wife is not named. We hear Manoah, but we only hear his wife or the woman. So we don't know her name. But she was barren. She'd never been able to have a child. And so as a result, this is a miraculous birth. And of course, we know that there are a number of miraculous births in Scripture. Who else had a baby in their old age? You remember? Abraham and Sarah. Who else? There you go. Zechariah and Elizabeth. John the Baptist. We see that at times. And then, of course, the really miraculous birth was Mary and the Lord Jesus. Okay, so, but here's the thing that we see. Verse 1, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now, I believe this 40 years will extend to the time, the coming of Samuel. All right, so we're moving from the judges, and we're about to move into to that time frame. But and really, Samson is the last judge of Israel. Well, so here is a man of the tribe of Dan, Manoah, and one day the angel of the Lord appears to the woman. So. Here's an interesting thing. Now, when you see that in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, it's a designation referring not to an angel himself, but to the Lord himself. And it is what we call a theophany, an appearance of God in an angelic form. All right? So, in fact, we sometimes refer to it as a Christophany, because it is... we believe the Lord Jesus himself in a pre-incarnate form coming to Manoah and his wife, coming to the wife first. And so here's his message. He comes to the woman and just says to her, verse 3, you are barren and you bear not, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And so there's a great bit of news. No doubt the woman was amazed by this. But then notice what he gives her instruction-wise. Verse 4, drink no wine or strong drink. Do not eat any unclean thing. And verse 5, we are given the course for Samson's life, for what he is to be. God has a plan for us before we're ever born. And I believe that. He allows for all the human, for choice and freedoms and whatnot. But he knows and he has a plan for us. So, Samson was to be a Nazarite. And it tells us in verse 5, you will conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So here's what we know. He's going to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite was a person. The word Nazar means separated one. Okay? If any of you were here this morning, that might ring a bell. Okay? Paul said he was separated unto the gospel of God in Romans 1. And we talked about the fact that the Pharisees were a group of people, that the very origin of the word Pharisee is separated, that they were separated from, you know, the regular Jews and from all the other people. Well, a Nazarite is one who is separated to God. Now, people would take a vow, a Nazarite vow, but it typically would only be for 6 months or a year, something like that. They would take a vow. And they would, during that time, they would observe the requirements of being a Nazarite. Turn back over to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, and let's look in chapter 6 for just a moment. And we'll see the origin of the Nazarite vow. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves, there's that word, separate themselves, to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes, or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled, in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. Well, he continues on with some more instructions regarding, you know, the dead bodies and so on. But we see here, when a person is set apart for a Nazarite vow, he has nothing to do with any wine, grape juice, grapes, raisins, nothing. You know, going to have none of that. He's going to let his hair grow. Okay? That was not normal. No razor going to come to his head. And then no contact with any dead body, any person, nothing that would defile the person. And then more than that, we see in Judges 13 that the angel of the Lord tells Manoah's wife that she herself, while she is carrying Samson, she is not to have any of these things. All right? So, gives us a little insight into the Nazarite vow and what this is for. But Samson is different in that he is dedicated to the Lord in this way from the womb. Now, I don't know if we're ever really told specifically that John the Baptist was also this given to this vow or not. But that's kind of the picture I have of him is also that he was given over to the Nazarite vow as well. Well, so the woman runs to tell her husband, a man of God came to me, verse 6, and, you know, tells him all the details, and I'm going to have a baby, we're going to have a son, and he's not to drink any strong drink, and he's going to be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. All right, so she kind of gives us a little more information there. He's going to be, all of his life, he is going to be a Nazarite set apart to God. And on one hand, we might look at that and say, well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? I mean, the poor guy, he can't have a cup of orange or grape juice. He can't, eat some raisins. He can't, you know, do these things. But remember the context here. Verse 1, the people of Israel have turned away from God again. This is the seventh recorded time in the book of Judges where they have turned away from the Lord. So it's a pattern. It is happening over and over and over again. Well, so Manoah, you know, he hears his wife. Now, you know, men, you know, what do you think when your wife comes in and begins to tell you some big story? Well, I mean, you kind of look at her and you start trying to figure out, well, what really happened here? And Manoah's wife comes in with this wild story. An angel appeared. And this is what he told me. But here's the good part. Manoah believed God in this whole thing. You know, he doesn't question what God is doing. Instead, notice verse 8. Manoah entreated, he prayed to the Lord. Oh, my Lord, let the man of God which you sent come again and teach us what we shall do. So, you know, sometimes, you know, I think sometimes women are more in tune with the things of God, or more perceptive, hear from God more than we men do. But, you know, here's a positive example for us, fellas. Manoah prayed about this. He didn't doubt. He didn't question. He wasn't putting out a fleece, even. He was just asking God to come and show them, you know, together what should be done. So, verse 9, the Lord hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God, again, that's the angel, that's the Lord Himself coming, not just an angel. Well, so came again to the woman. And so the woman went and got her husband, verse 10. And verse 11, Manoah went with his wife, came to the man. And so they began to speak. Verse 12, Manoah asked, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let him drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Well, you know, we're given a command in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, I believe it is, says that we are not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. And so, one of the important things for us as believers is to understand that when God says, don't go here, don't do this, don't partake of that, He has something better for us. You know, when God says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, well, He's got something better. He's got the new wine of the Spirit of God that He wants to give us. He wants to give to us, and it's far better than anything that the world has to offer. Sometimes I think we look at our families and we think, oh, these poor kids, I'm denying them this or this or that. You know, well, whenever we feel a conviction from God that we shouldn't do something, then please know that don't just not do it, but understand that God has something better for you. He's got something that's even better than that. And so, you know, don't feel like, oh, I'm missing out, or oh, I'm losing something here. Samson, you know, Samson had his struggles. We'll kind of see that as we walk through the life of Samson. But he was given the direction from an early age. And so his parents, man, they're on board. And they're listening to the Lord. They're really trying, seeking. And here's the interesting thing. You know, this is about the birth of Samson, but yet the emphasis is on the parents. It's really not so much about Samson as it is about Manoah and his wife. What are we to do? And how are we to do this? And so God's giving them what they need to do, what they should do and should not do. Well, so verse 12. Manoah says, "Now let thy words come to pass." So, you know, he's not doubting. He's not questioning. Zechariah, when the angel appeared to Zechariah, you remember? Zechariah questioned. And the angel said, "Because you doubted, you're not going to be able to speak until the baby has been born." And in fact, it was on the eighth day when John the Baptist was circumcised, was being named, that he finally, his ears were open and his tongue was loose. So he could speak again. He could hear again. But the angel gives a direction. And so then Manoah makes one more request. Because he says, wow, this is a big deal. This is a big moment. You know, when God speaks, when God reveals Himself, it is a big moment. It is an important occasion. He says, we want to make this special. We want to prepare a meal for you. Would you stay as we prepare a meal? And so the angel of the Lord, verse 18, said unto him, He asked him first his name. I'm sorry. And then he asked about the meal, and then he asked the name. Verse 16, the angel replies, I will not eat of your bread. And if you want to offer something, make a burnt offering to the Lord. And so then Manoah asked him, verse 17, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. Well, so here's an interesting thing. The angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? And literally, it is seeing that it is wonderful. Is that suggestive of anything? Who is named Wonderful? The Lord Himself. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. So, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Well, alright, then... verse 19, Manoah took a kid with a meal offering or a meat offering. I think it was a grain offering is what that is. And offered it on a rock unto the Lord. And it says the angel did wondrously as Manoah and his wife were looking on. And it says that as the flame of the fire went up toward heaven from the altar, that the angel ascended, went up in the flame, in the smoke, in the fire, ascended right up into heaven from that point. Well, what a moment. What an incredible moment. But what a blessing. God was revealing something of Himself to Manoah and his wife. You know, anytime God calls us to do something for Him, He's going to reveal something of Himself to us to prepare us for that task. He did it with Moses, the burning bush. He did it with Isaiah. Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord in the temple, high and lifted up. And Isaiah 6. He did it with many of his people. Well, here he does this for Manoah. And now Manoah is suddenly aware. I mean, they knew this was unique. They knew this was special. They knew it was amazing. But now, notice what happened. As soon as they saw the angel of the Lord ascend in the flame, it says at the end of verse 20, they fell on their faces to the ground. And since the angel no more appeared, verse 22, Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." Well, here again, Manoah's wife, she's got a little something on the ball. Look at this. Verse 23. The wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us..." I think what she's saying is, if the Lord was going to kill us, He'd already done it. If the Lord was going to kill us, He already had His chance. He could have done it easily in this moment. And He said He wouldn't have received the burnt offering, the meat offering at our hand. He wouldn't have showed us all these things. So, you know, what an encouragement to them both that they had been privileged, that God drew back the veil just a little bit and allowed them to see something of Himself. Well, now, folks, as we think about this, here's the thing we want to consider. We have been blessed. Maybe God hasn't appeared to us in angelic form. Maybe He hasn't done some amazing burning bush thing. Maybe He hasn't walked on water in front of us. Maybe He didn't shine a great light out of heaven that just shined all around us and we got saved because of it. But you see, God doesn't work the same way with people. Even in Scripture, you know, Jeremiah didn't have a burning bush. Isaiah didn't have an ark. You know, God did not duplicate Himself. His ways of touching people and dealing with people were as unique as those people. And so I want to encourage you tonight. God reveals Himself to us. Now, the primary way that He does that is He does it through His Word. You know, we have a wonderful advantage and a benefit that Manoah and his wife did not have. Perhaps they had heard the readings of the law and knew some of the Scripture, but they didn't have the Bible. You know, they didn't even have the entire Old Testament. That was still in the works. It was still being done. Certainly they didn't have any of the New Testament yet. They didn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit within them to lead them and to guide them. And we do. We are blessed. We need to understand. We look at these people sometimes and we shake our heads when we see, oh, they left the Lord, they turned away from God again, they messed up, and yes, they did it over again. They did it again and again. But we want to be reminded we have a wonderful advantage in that we have the Lord Jesus, and He's with us at all times. He's with us all the time. And so I want to encourage you tonight. God may not have done some amazing thing that He revealed Himself to you in. But I really believe that if you're walking with Him and listening for His voice, I really believe that He will reveal Himself and He will give you what you need so that you can humble your heart and you can seek His face and you can know Him. You can serve it. You know, we make a big deal out of serving, and I know talking to some of the pastors that I've known who did church plants, who were starting new churches, they said, you know, the hard thing is that sometimes those new people, they're not dedicated. They're not committed. They might show up to teach Sunday school class or to work in the nursery or to do some job, but they might not. They don't have a dedication. They don't have a sense of. And folks, if any of us are going to do anything for the Lord, it's going to come because we understand who He is. We understand something of the person of God. And folks, that's what we need. We need more of Him. You know, we need to know Him more, to love Him better, because that changes our whole approach to how we live, to what we do day by day by day. So I want to encourage you, and I want us to pray together here as we close. I want us to ask God just to speak to our hearts this week and to help us to hear His voice, to help us to know Him in a better way. And it doesn't matter. You know, you may say, well, I'm a saved person. I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, 40, 50 years, 60 years. Who knows? I won't ask. But no matter how long you've been walking with God, God still has some fresh, new places that He wants to take you. He's got some sweet blessings He wants to pour into your life. I believe that. And it's not about what you had so far. It's about all that He has for His children. So tonight, I want to just ask that we go to Him in prayer. We seek Him in this moment. And we ask Him to speak to us and help us to be ready for whatever He wants us to use us in, however He wants to work. So let's just take a moment. Let's bow our heads. If tonight there is in your heart some need, I would just encourage you to come and grab me or someone and let's pray together, whatever it may be. But let's take this moment and just thank God for His presence and how He has already worked in your life. Ways that He's already spoken to your heart, revealed Himself to you. And let's ask Him to speak again, to help us to hear. Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight for the story of Manoah and his wife. Lord, we can see just a sense somehow the excitement they had in this moment, but also the dread and the fear that fell over them when they realized who they were dealing with. Father, I pray that the awesome fear of God and the incredible sense of Your presence and Your holiness and Your glory, Your majesty, Your power would sweep into our hearts and lives. God, I pray You'd reveal something of Yourself to us so that we might know You in a better way. And Lord, we might love You more. Serve You. And so, God, reveal Yourself to us. Speak to us. We thank You for what You've already done. Thank You for speaking and working in the past. And oh, Lord, we just ask, bless us now. Move in our hearts. Meet our needs. Help us in this moment to focus on You, Lord.